62.
Approve the designation of 6 trees as City of Portland Heritage Trees and remove the heritage tree designation from 2 trees.
Mr. Pritz.
Thank you, Mayor. As the Commissioner in charge of Portland Parks and Recreation, I'm happy to introduce this ordinance to add to our City of Portland Heritage Tree inventory by formally designating 6 trees as heritage trees and unfortunately removing the designation from 2 trees. The Heritage Tree Program is an integral component of raising public awareness of the important contribution of trees. It's been going since 1993. There are currently 290 heritage trees in Portland, representing 125 unique species. And I am happy to welcome Greg Everhart from the Urban Forestry Commission, who has led the Heritage Tree Committee selection process and will provide a short presentation, and Jen Cairo, our city forester.
Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if the presentation is going to be projected.
Oh, she's...
Did you send it?
Good.
Did you know who you sent it to?
F should
it was sent by Megan Dirks.
To who? Who did she send it to?
Oh.
To you, I believe.
Are we missing...
we may have to go with
PowerPoint.
That's too bad.
Find it, Carla? Uh-oh. Nobody's got it on a memory stick.
I might be able to pull it up right now here.
Did you get the PowerPoint as a printout? Have you?
Let's see if we did.
Oh, my goodness. It's literally like 7 slides, but they have the pictures of the trees.
I can pass it down.
All right, we can refer to the paper copy then. Why don't you proceed and we'll refer to the paper copy because they're here.
Well, happy belated Arbor Month. Normally, this process to select heritage trees takes about a year. We like to present them to you in April so we can include them and, celebrate the actual people who've nominated them during the Arbor Day celebration. But you guys have been really busy, and we appreciate actually how much of your time has been spent on trees this year. So we will get any of you that don't have the PowerPoint, the pictures. I am really sorry you don't actually see these trees because...
We're sharing.
Yeah, we're
okay,
sharing.
They're remarkable.
Yeah.
And if you accept them, they will get their plaque, and it'll actually then be against the law to remove, destroy, or injure them. Some of them are public trees, street right-of-ways, and parks. Others are private trees. Those private owners are actually bound to care for the trees and can't take them out without permission. And I'm sorry you're not seeing these pictures sort of tree by tree, but one thing I do want to mention is the size of these trees. The slides show their height, their spread, and their circumference, because those are the numbers we use for heritage trees. But because you've been talking about DBH for trees, the diameter at breast height, for each of the trees, I'm actually going to translate that. And you may have to actually go back and look at it later. But I, as a landscape architect, am always interested in how long it takes a tree to grow. And so literally, if we take down a 25-inch tree or 30-inch tree, how many years of growth is that? In some cases, we've got... neighborhoods that have never had heritage trees, and so where this is the first or second heritage tree, I'm going to mention that because my goal, chairing the committee, among my goals is to actually get a heritage tree. Excellent, a miracle.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carl.
And how do I move it forward? Yeah. Great. So those are the 6 trees, and the first two are actually dawn redwoods. Now, you can have a heritage tree be large or old, historic significance, a place, a person, an event, or it can just be a horticultural interest. Some of these trees actually have 2 or more reasons. Dawn redwoods were a tree that were thought were to be extinct, and these are actually some of the earliest trees found in this country once people started collecting and exchanging the seed. This also represents a tradition that we're losing in Portland. That's the neighborhood nursery that had specialty trees. So the 10-acre nursery that was here lasted 90-some years. It had 4 generations, 2 generations each in 2 trees. The first tree here is 27-inch DBH. And actually, I got to say, we're all about the same age. This tree is 61 years old, so just 27 inches, but obviously its height is pretty significant. The second one is 34 inches, and you see there, for those of you who have the proper sheet, the woman, Karen Erickson, she's the daughter of the second family, so the fourth generation, and she nominated this tree. So again, historic significance internationally and then locally. Coast redwood is another kind of redwood. Now, obviously, both the redwood varieties can grow centuries. And if you look at the number for the coast redwood, it's a 68-inch DBH. It's clearly older, but again, this is a different form of tree. It's got a real trunk flare. This is in University Park neighborhood. It's a landmark on the Peninsula Crossing Trail. Its height and the fact that it's sort of in a clear area means it's a significant landmark for this neighborhood and pretty much any people who use the trail. The next tree, the Mount Fuji flowering cherry, it's unusual. These trees don't live as long. Many of our flowering trees are smaller statured. We don't talk about them as much because they don't give some of the big environmental benefits. This tree was actually passed over the previous year. The Heritage Tree Committee did not recommend it move forward to the commission and to council. But the neighborhood sent us a petition, and they made it very clear that this tree is a landmark for Mount Tabor. It would be that neighborhood's first heritage tree. This picture I took in March, it's spectacular every year, every part of the year. It's a sculpture in the winter. It's got great fall color. It shades three different lots because it's actually wider than it is tall. I actually see this because my mother lives somewhat nearby. It's not going to live as long as any of the other trees that we've got, but it's important to this neighborhood, and it's in its own way sort of precedent setting that a more ornamental, less functional tree is honored. And I think what was particularly important to this neighborhood is they saw this as a tool. Preserving the tree would help preserve these homes. These are the homes in inner southeast and northeast that are really vulnerable to being replaced. And that'll be very difficult to do if this is a heritage tree. And the current owners would like that protection for the tree's sake. Second to last tree is actually a native tree, the Oregon white oak. This tree is actually our most common heritage tree. We've got about two dozen of them. And you think, well, why do we need another one? Well, this one is actually particularly spectacular. It's not the biggest, nor the tallest, or even the widest, but it's unique in that it's got these multiple trunks. And we think it's actually several different trees. You know, the squirrels didn't come back to their acorn stash. They sprouted, grew, blended together, and it's actually too big to actually take a picture of it in its entirety. There's no direction where it's not blocked by other trees, but it's a real feature in Fernhill Park. Last tree is a madone tree, another native tree, and the story here is both the horticulture species. It's native, but it's rare in Portland because it likes hot, dry, well-drained places. You would normally see this on the bluffs along the Willamette River, like above Oak's Bottom, something like that, where it just is really hot and dry. This is a street tree, and the woman who is hugging her tree actually transplanted this when she was a child. So again, this tree is about our age. It came in July, which is not when you transplant trees, and she stewarded it this time. This would be the Foster Powell neighborhood's first tree, heritage tree. And it was discovered by the city during the street tree inventory for Foster Powell. So those are the six nominees. And we can answer questions about them or anything else in the ordinance.
Tell us about the two trees that are being removed. And what's that process? And is there anything to be concerned about there?
Well, I personally am concerned that the grand fir was cut down without a permit. There's a whole long story, and I know we were given 5 minutes, but it was literally killed. The Japanese red pine actually is along 39th, just near the Co Circle Park. And I think it just suffered eventually being in that setting, the hot, dry planting strip.
They're removed from their list because they're gone.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
normally there might be storm damage and something becomes unstable. We have some warning and we can delist it.
Oh, but the reason I raised the concern is you just mentioned this one, the cherry tree, where it's part of a preservation strategy. So we have a giant loophole in our historic preservation process where people can de-designate their properties. So if I have a heritage tree on my lot, can I just de-designate it?
No. We'd have to come to council just like everyone else.
Okay. Mr. Auerbach, comments on this?
Yeah, under the code, delisting a tree requires a unanimous recommendation from the Urban Forestry Commission and approval by the council.
Would that it were so for historic landmarks. Thank you.
Although cutting one, the fine is currently only $1,000.
Yeah, we hope to bring that up in the next round or one of those near rounds of tree code amendments.
Okay, good. Thank you. Questions? Thank you both very much. Appreciate both the presentation and the work.
Thank you, Commissioners.
Anyone else want to speak on this item? If not, then this passes to second reading.
Thank you for your presentation.